Well, welcome back to Three Putt Par. My name is Mike Caridi. I'm your host. This is episode number 37. We're back in the land of Australia. Well, I am anyway. My guest is also, well, my guest this week is definitely on the land of Australia, just the small island. Mr. Will Kay, welcome back.
Thanks. It's a point of contention as to whether we're Australian or otherwise, but I'm sure we've got the same passport either way. So looking forward to having more visitors down here to prove it soon.
I do love when I speak to someone from King Island or Tassie and they talk about the mainland Australia as the big island. Or at least in Tassie, in King Island. It's like, oh yeah, no, I was up on the big island. I'm like, what, the big island? Oh, mainland. Okay, cool. Mate, we're same country. No stress.
Yep. Yeah, well, the King Island. Yeah, really well. Enjoying it. I'm sort of just coming down from all of the Masters hype over the last little while. The adrenaline that's been fueling me today after four nights of very little sleep. So I'm excited.
I didn't get to watch today. I did get to watch a bit. I had to go to the office, first day back in the office after pretty much a month. So I was really loving the idea, especially on Masters Monday. And I left here at about, I want to say 7:30 in the morning. So Scotty had just hit his shot into 12. So, yeah, it was a good time because I could sort of, I had the radio in the car playing, but by the time I got to the office, I think it was over.
That was exactly when the writing was on the wall, really. When Scotty hit that shot in, it was similar to Tiger in 2019 where everyone else was trying really hard but couldn't land any body blows to him. And then he just did that and it was pretty much game over. So it was, there were some really exciting shots on the way in and it was a good final round. It was just a shame that they couldn't keep up to him to make it exciting for the back nine on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think if the boys, a few of my mates that, like everyone else, they're not religious to golf. They love golf, but everyone watches the Masters and they would message me and said, who's going to win from here? I think it was about the fifth or sixth hole. And I said, look, Scheffler should win. But realistically, no, it was seven because I said, by the time we finish eight, he should be one in front. He's going to make birdie here. He'll get up and down from there, guaranteed. And I think as soon as I finished that message, Morikawa put one into no distance and he was going to be tied with him through that. And I just said, it's a standard Masters recipe. If you can get through 10, 11, 12, with no massive scar tissue, but take advantage of 13 and 15. And you know, if you're already leading at that point, you're going to win. Simple. Yep. It's a simple game. I mean, I could win the Masters if I did that.
Walk in the park, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just write that down on the way in and job done.
Before we talk heaps
about
it. I
had a conversation with a couple of people.
Sorry, go ahead, man.
No, I was saying, so I had a conversation with a couple of people about if you had to par one hole at Augusta for your life, which hole would it be? And it was, I was contending that it would potentially be 12 just because it's a short iron that you know how far it is. But it just seems to give all the pros such devastating bits of anxiety that it couldn't possibly be 12. So it's got to be one of the short par fives.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was an interesting conversation.
I feel like I'm going to say a par five. I'm just trying to figure which one I'd take. I'd probably go 13.
I thought two because
it's one of those two. Yeah,
it's downhill and there's no water. Like
I know,
there is
but I feel like it's
death on the left.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I feel like that. I mean, I'm going from memory, and I didn't watch as much as I'd like to this weekend. I feel like that's a right to left tee shot. And I don't reckon I've got a right to left tee shot in me. So that's not there for me.
Yeah. 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 Well, you'd probably want 15 then as far as a left to right tee shot on a par five. But
that's true. That's true.
Huge goal.
I think I'd take 13 only because I mean, Morikawa hit the cut up there today. I just try and get something. I'm not never getting there in two. But my brain says if I can get anything out there and then just kind of lay up and pray that I can hit something onto that green off a hook lie and hope I two putt. I mean, look, let's be honest, I'm not making a par anywhere. If I did, it's a pure fluke.
Yeah, no, I'm shooting a million there at least. So it'll be interesting actually on the topic of podcast, as it looks like Solly from No Laying Up is playing there today or Monday in the US. So he will be I'll be very interested to see he as a good player, what he shoots.
Off the members' tees. I'm going to get ahead of it right now. He's going to break par.
Oof.
That's my pick. So Solly can play golf, because Solly, like a lot of people ask me after the trip down to KI, how are the boys at golf? They're all good golfers, like they really are. And I'm not spoiling anything for anyone that's going to watch Tour of Source, which starts this week on YouTube. But all the boys are very good golfers, and a couple of them are elite. And Solly's right at the pointy end. And I think he could quite comfortably off the members' tee there. I mean, he'll be hitting. There'll be holes where he can't hit driver. He'll be that far up. I think if he can sort of get his irons working okay and putt okay, I think he could. It wouldn't shock me to be right around even par. There you go. Big call.
It's a shame they can't do a bit more video there. And do one of the film rooms and get all the way in for it. But either way, I'm looking forward to following that as well.
Well, the Dude Perfect guys, who I don't know, right? I only know them because when I played Tara Eady, one of the guys was there. So we all walked in at the same time. Me, the guy I was with, and the Dude Perfect guy were all walking in. He's like, oh, that's a guy from Dude Perfect. I'm like, I don't know what that is. And then he reminded me the guy did the crazy stuff at Augusta. So yeah, they've done it. Mm-hmm. So why you can't imagine that it's impossible that No Laying Up could go there and video something. Who knows?
Yeah, you'd like to think so. You'd like to think they'd allow a very golf adjacent, effectively a media company to do that versus just a I guess Dude Perfect's a pretty monstrous media company these days. But That's interesting true. Stuff.
Before we keep going on the Masters, we did have round two of the tipping competition, and we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We had 11 people pick the winner. One of them was me. So good job, me, but I'm not going to win a prize. But I am going to draw the prize now. And what I'm going to do, just so nobody knows, nobody thinks that I'm cheating, I'm going to share my screen when I figure out how to do that. So Will is going to be my... He's going to be my, when you watch the Tats Lotto and you see the person, you're going to be my master of ceremonies guy. So the people that picked the winner were Liam, Nomadic Golfer. So Nomadic Golfer is a great follow on Instagram if anyone's got time to watch. The Tour Junkie, who I think is someone that I know who's a big Tour Junkies fan, who's timely because of DB being on last week. The other DB, Aussie DB. Mrs. Morgie, I don't know. Connors, I believe, is someone I know, a mate of mine. Christian, I don't know who that is. Allenby, Jay Brooks, Trent P, and Tish. Tish, I know as well. So they are there, and I'm going to spin the wheel, and you can, and just so that people can tell that I'm not cheating, Will's going to tell you who the winner is. Spinning. Oh, there you go.
It's still spinning.
It is.
Still spinning. It is the Nomadic Golfer.
It is. It must be too late on your end. Yes, so Nomadic Golfer, I will be flicking you a note. And you can have a pick from the prize pool. The last win, I can't remember who it was, but they were straight onto the 7 mile head cover. So they took the head cover out of the pool. So we've got a Tara Eady cap, a Barn Boogle beanie, I think that's 7 mile cap, and a Kate Wickham beanie. So all still sitting there. Got some other stuff coming in. So there'll be a rotating prizes. So don't stress if you haven't won a prize yet. We've still got the Cam Smith prize for the overall winner. But we've also going to give away anyone who beats me by the end of the season will go in a draw. If you're in the game at all, you're going to go in a different draw. We're going to have a bunch of prizes still to give away. The overall winner, there's four people tied at the top. Christian, Jay Brooks, Tish, and Mrs. Morgie. So I looked it up. How are they all doing that? They all picked Scotty Scheffler to win the Masters. And they all had Wyndham Clark to win the Players, who finished second. That's pretty good going in their picks. That's very. It. They could have gone.
It's a good average.
Very good average. So
you can't go 1-1 with Scheffler.
No, exactly. So that's as good as you can go. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So they're all there, but now we're starting to thin out. So three more to go. I've had a few people reach out, and you know, so they really want the flag. I'm like, that's good. Just pick the winner, and you're a chance. But yeah, Nomadic Golfer, I will be flicking you a note. You can take a pick from the pool, and then I'll send it to you wherever you are. You're traveling around Australia playing lots of golf, so we'll see who I have to be sending it to, or where I should be sending it to, I should say. Any other big things that you took out of the weekend before we run down the leaderboard a little bit?
Ludwig's pretty good in that it's a surprise to nobody, but in your debut of a major, really being the only one to put any real 72-hole heat on Scheffler is a pretty impressive sort of thing. And everybody talks about how you need to have a bit of experience around Augusta and all those things. And he just hit nearly all of the shots that he needed to hit, apart from his shot into 11. And it was just very impressive stuff. And so that was proof, basically, if anybody needed any more proof that he's the real deal. So that was probably the big takeaway that if I had to summarize it in one dot point was, he's pretty darn good.
He is. I'm just trying to figure out who it was that messaged me. I did have a message early in the week, and they were telling me that they quite liked a couple of different golfers. And I was like, oh, yeah. And the people that they named all finished right at the top of the list. I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was. I did get a lot of messages last week, as you can imagine, being a major week. But they said, I really like Max Homer. And I was like, oh, I love Max. I'd love him to win, but he just hasn't shown anything in a major yet.
Mm-hmm.
I love Åberg. And I'm like, yeah, but blokes playing in their first major don't necessarily win it.
Yep.
And then there was another player that they liked, and they were right at the pointy end as well. So I was like, good picks. But yeah, Scheffler on top. I mean, I think when I called out that Scheffler rated on top last week in the data. So when I run the numbers, it's a bit hard to explain, but effectively when I crunch all the numbers through on all the stats that I like, it spits out a number, and the number means nothing, but it helps me rank them. And that number normally sits around, for the person who finishes on top, somewhere between like a 3 and a 5, right? The worst player in the field might be sitting at like a 30. So it's quite condensed, but if you're kind of in a single digit, you're really in the pointy end of what I think is going to be a good player that week. Scheffler last week, his number that spat out was 1.2. Like, it's the lowest number. It's the lowest number I've ever calculated for someone to come up.
Yeah.
So he was rated on stats and the way he should play so far ahead of the field. The $5.50 or $6 or whatever he came up was quite right. I would never bet it. Mm-hmm. And people messaged me, a mate of mine today messaged me saying, oh, thanks for the pick on Scheffler. I'm like, look, he was a favorite. I'm not going to dance around about it. The proudest thing I had last week was in the email that I sent out with the tips. I said, Scheffler's on top. It's not sexy, but like Shakira's hips, the data doesn't lie. And this bloke is so far ahead.
True.
And he won. And he won. He won like he should, which is great, because I think that there's been so many players that have been favourites like he has that don't salute.
Mm.
He's done everything that he had to do. So very, very impressive. But like I said, Åberg just, that performance was exceptional. Yeah. Exceptional.
Yeah, absolutely. But Scotty was the first favourite to win since 2005, which just shows how tough it is to win at the Masters, and when you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders, as Rory probably puts the weight of world on his shoulders every time he thinks about the Masters. So I just, it was a tough watch, watching him go down the gurgler on Saturday, or sort of Friday, Saturday, really.
Yeah.
And just try to hit the big high balls into all the shots again. And it's just, it was painful to watch. I was lucky enough to go to the British Open that Greg Norman nearly won.
Yep.
Where he just played unbelievably good links golf for the first 3 days.
Yeah.
And then on the fourth day, he was in the lead, and he just tried to not play links golf and just overpower it. So he was just hitting the ball straight up in the air and thinking, I'm 21 again. I'll be able to just play how I did at Turnberry all those years ago. This will be fine. And it just wasn't. And and that was what Rory reminded me of on Friday, Saturday, where he just tried to muscle out the wind and play his own game instead of what had to be played at the way Scheffler hit it into a couple of holes. And it's going to be a tough ask for Rory to win one there ever.
It is. I mean, and look, people will always talk about it every time it comes around and he's in the field, but I kind of look at it like, you know, we put so much pressure on him, and he probably puts a lot of pressure on himself, because it's been such a long time between majors. But at the same time, you think about how many players over time that just don't win a major. Like, you know, like, it's difficult to do. He's won a few. He's done exceptionally well. If he wins another one, he's going to be wrapped. But it's not like he's not close. Like, he's real close. Like, he's not close necessarily here, but and that's one that he hasn't won. But it wouldn't shock me to see him win a major in the next 2 years either.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And it's sort of duplicating the no laying up guys that it might be that removes half the weight of the monkey on his back for the Masters. He goes, oh, yeah. I really can win majors again. So might make it just that much easier to win the Masters. But
no, that's a good point for sure. In most impressive couple of people that I would say, like I said about Homer, so it was good to see him put in a good performance, and I think that'll give him belief moving forward for the next few majors for the year. Probably the one that I was most surprised by was DeChambeau. I don't watch live golf, but I didn't feel like I hadn't heard that he'd been playing good golf, and that first round was exceptional. To go that deep on any course, let alone Augusta, was really impressive. I thought he might not. I had a couple of messages from people saying that they thought he might kick away, and I said, look, I think he'd take one under, or even in the next 2-3 rounds, and I think it'd keep him in the mix, because if you can get to 10, you're normally in the mix. I think I said that in the email as well, and I mean, 11 wins it. He was at what, 7 through round one? So, I mean, that was an impressive round. He's finished at 2. It wasn't a bad finish. It was just probably what was expected, I should say, but probably was a little bit surprised at how well he went. The other one I'll say Cam Smith as well. So Cam Smith, again, don't feel like exactly brought his A game, but still was quite comfortable where he finished. And the other one that snuck up on the board is probably that leans back to that person who, or that type of player who just always turns up in majors, Cameron Young. He's been MIA. He seems to just turn up in majors. He's finished at even par. That was a bit of a sneaky surprise for me, I thought, anyway.
Yeah, no, absolutely fair. It's, Cam Smith just couldn't buy a putt the last couple of days, which is unlike him. But it was... And he obviously didn't have great preparation. He had food poisoning last week and things like that. But it was, it's a sad reminder again that you just don't see him play anymore.
The old food poisoning in Miami. I reckon that's probably food poisoning you get in Las Vegas. I reckon he's been out having a bit of fun. Surely,
yeah. There was nothing wrong with the first 15 beers. It was just the 16th that got him. But it was you never know. But it was. But it is just a shame not seeing those guys. And exactly the guys you're saying. So seeing Bryson and Cam Smith and those guys playing against everyone on the PGA Tour, it's just such a shame we don't see it. And Rahm as well. Rahm really didn't do what he should have done this week. But but at the same time, haven't seen what his form's like, because you only see him against a couple of people on the shortened format. Otherwise, it's a shame.
It is. And look, I'm not going to shit on Liv any more than I normally do. They got their major coming up at Adelaide in 2 weeks. I think it was good to see the best golfers in the world all playing against each other. I find it funny that it always has to be a fight. The part that I find frustrating and annoying is DeChambeau has an amazing round one. And instead of us all saying, what a great round that was from a golfer who we don't get to see anymore. Instead, I've got to open up Instagram and see Liv bots punching out photos of Bryson with these comments of like, yeah, Liv guys aren't going to be competitive on tour. It's like, can we just move on? Like, honestly, no one cares anymore. Like, just whatever, right? It's the same argument today. We'd be like, oh, yeah, well, he was nowhere near Scheffler, so PGA Tour's better. It's like, not the thing. Bryson playing well at the Masters doesn't make Liv golf any worse or any better. It's just not relevant. It's a guy going and playing in a golf tournament. It doesn't mean that where he plays normally, it doesn't make 54 hole golf shotgun start any different. So I just find it crazy. But I think Rahm would be very disappointed, especially defending. Outside of just a normal, he'd be disappointed in the way that he played. The other one that was probably a bit more for me disappointing anyway, because I thought he'd go very well, was Matsuyama. He probably plugged around the last three rounds, but I mean, his first round really killed him. The other one we need to talk about is the man who finished, it's sad to say, dead last. But dead last are the guys who made the cut. Isn't that the big cat?
Yeah, it was. It was like, it was remarkably impressive for him to get to make the cut. Like, I think he'd played three rounds of golf in the last year or something like that competitively. Yep. And so to do that and get around, it was Jose Maria Olazabal was pretty impressive as well. He plays one tournament a year as a 58-year-old and beat a couple of other big names along with Vijay Singh.
Kepka.
But
Kepka.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, it was a shame to see the way it ended for Tiger, but the late finish and early start this morning and things like that was always going to be a tough one for him, and sort of more than 18 holes on Friday or Saturday, whichever day it was, to get it all done was always going to be a nightmare for a guy that's half metal, the
bionic
basically.
Man.
Exactly. So it was a tough scene, but gee, the way he grinded to make the cut and 24 in a row is, I don't know that we'll see that again.
No.
Yeah.
No, be very tough. And shout out to Melinda Lintak in the tipping competition. She messaged me this week, told me she'd pick Tiger Woods to win. I said, good luck with that. So she messaged me tonight and said, Tiger Woods didn't go well. Well, no, he didn't. You got a couple of dollars, but you got a long way to go to win the Cam Smith flag. So that was a good pick by her. She wants to know who my pick is next time because I picked Scotty. So it doesn't work that way. So you can have it, you can pick mine, but I can guarantee it probably won't help you.
You just never know. But yeah, I don't know how realistic a Tiger pick would be going forward. And I think he's going to need a flat British Open course in perfect conditions to really have anything left in the tank at the end of 4 days.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
And not too
at
cold,
this point in time.
Like weather wise, it's got to be right.
Yep.
You know, I'm 47 and I mean, I battle when it's a little bit cold, let alone a bloke who's been put through the ringer more than a couple of times. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's a fair specimen versus me, but still I can understand that what the impacts on his body and that sort of any sort of changes would be very, very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aussie watch. Obviously, Cam Smith did quite well. The other one that was right there for a long time, Cam Davis played well. Probably. I mean, even though he didn't finish as high as Cam Smith, I felt like Cam Davis probably had a I won't say a better week, but he's probably the one that was the best Aussie in mine. Minwoo was just battling all week. Jason Day's. I feel like Jason Day made a resurgence late last year, but it looked like he was going to make that turn and I'd expect him to compete the Masters.
Yep.
Now I feel like he's just a fashion model that gets out and runs around in the Melbourne kit. And okay, that's kind of hit that. Like if you finish a golf tournament, you're an Australian, you've contended at the Masters before, you at the Masters and you make the cut. And the biggest stories about you for the week are your outfits and a jumper that you got asked to remove. I don't know that would be that great if that was me. I don't know.
I wouldn't want that to be the case, and I'm sure he doesn't want that to be the case. But yeah, that's if you're going to sign with Melbourne, that's what you sign up for. So yeah. I guess that's on him a little bit. But it was a shame to see that as well, because as you say, you often do. I rewatched the 2011 Masters and things like that in the week leading up, and he could have easily won that. He could have easily won 2013 when Adam Scott won, and he's had a great amount of history there. But yeah, just couldn't quite get out of second gear this time around, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, it happens. It happens. I get it, but look, he's still playing good golf. I don't know. I just expect probably a little bit more this week. Probably would have picked him to be top Aussie. Maybe I did in a couple of tipping ops.
I convinced one of my mates to tip him as the top Aussie, and that went south. So I got reminded of that this morning, which is fair enough. But But yeah, so he didn't quite come through, and I was obviously probably tainted by watching those videos of back in the day, which is always a risk.
Yeah, someone sent me a sheet. It might have been Old Salty Dan. Someone sent me a sheet and said, "Have a look at this." And it was, you had to pick from each of the categories. Mm-hmm. One of the categories was like elder statesman, previous winners, and all that. And I said, "Oh, Danny Willett." And then I opened up the TV at, you know, very, very early on the Friday morning, and Danny Willett's in the top five. I'm like, "What's going on here?"
Yeah, that was a blaster in the past. Still,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm sure he'd really like to have his shot into 18 on Friday back again.
Yeah.
Where I think it was the Friday where he had the triple bogey and left one in the bunker and all those things that you really don't want to do once you get to a single figure handicap, let alone the skill set that these guys have.
Yeah.
So,
No, I think it's Morikawa left one in the pot as well today on, maybe 9, 10.
I think it was.
And
I mean,
9, it was, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, he missed it by 2-3 inches. But, I mean, if it carries, it's perfect. If it's 9, it's back at your feet. But it's just, you need to be so precise there. Like, you can't just get it out and get it on the green. Because if he does that, the ball funnels away from the flag and he's got 60 feet for par. Just such a game of inches. And, yeah, he didn't pass that test. And, yeah, like you said, there's a few that probably failed the same test all week. But, yeah. Any other players before we move on from the Masters that you, or any other options or things that you found interesting this week?
Not really. I enjoyed seeing Ryan Fox as a semi Australian.
Yep. Adopted.
Yeah. I think we'll take him when, you know, it's like Pavlova and all those sort of things that we adopt when it suits us.
Yep.
So he was an Australian for Thursday morning at least.
Yep.
And, he had a great round. I just love the way he goes about it and he smashes the ball and he just runs up and smashes it again and he's away and. Very, seems like he's got a good sense of humour and goes about it. He'd be a great guy to have a round of golf with and have a couple of beers afterwards. And
I agree.
So I really enjoyed watching him up the top of the order, and it was a shame that he fell off a bit. But I do like watching Foxy play.
Agree. Yeah, I think he's a ripper. I got to talk to him a little bit a couple of years ago at the Aussie PGA, and yeah, he was just great, great value. No qualms about him at all.
And coming down as the son of a small black great would have been some big shoes to fill, and I think he'd just about done that now. So pretty good gene pool, that one.
Yeah, for sure. We'll move on from the Masters. That's a lot there. It was a very big week. I'm sure all of you stayed up and watched it, or got up early and watched it, I should say, and stayed to watch as much as you could today, and hopefully you enjoyed it. This week, of all weeks, which I found quite interesting when I started running all the numbers, is the RBC Heritage, which they always play the week after the Masters, and most of us know it as the one with the lighthouse, the red and white striped lighthouse. It's an elevated event. I didn't realize. I was looking at. I'm cutting and pasting in the field, and I'm like, why is there only 60 names here? What have I done wrong? So I know it's an elevated event. It just seems such a weird spot to back up and have one. I don't know.
Don't like it.
No.
Don't like it as an elevated event. No, I'd be really surprised if the players liked it either, because first of all, they would be running on fumes having come out of the Masters, and it was always one of those ones that was a family event where effectively all the people that had ignored their families and spouses for the previous couple of weeks gets to go down to Hilton Head and have a good family time and just have an enjoyable week or so of being down there and just relaxing and having some nice golf. And so there'll be these guys that it'll be very interesting to see who can bounce back and who can't. And so
I think it's exactly what you said. For me, I find it a bit, I don't know, the week after a major, if you want to go and play it because it's down the road, which it literally is, cool. But yeah, the fact that effectively, they almost have to because it's an elevated event, makes it tough. I know Victor Hovland's withdrawn today, so he won't be there, but everyone else will be there. I don't know. It is definitely an interesting one. It's at Harbour Town. It's a big event, obviously, in years gone by. It's always one that always reminds me of Matt Fitzpatrick, and he won last year. But forever and a day, I thought about betting him here, and probably did every year except for last year, because he loves the place. It's quite weird for a guy that's English, and I think he played golf at university in Chicago, that loves this place. His head cover is the lighthouse. He won here last year. It's a course where you need to be red hot with your irons. The putter needs to be going okay. Distance is a little bit of benefit. Nothing else is super, super important outside of really just getting those irons right and having a good week with the flat stick. It's kind of like most weeks on tour, I guess. Matt Fitzpatrick did win last year. Jordan Spieth the year before, Sink the year before that, Webb Simpson before that. It's normally a little bit, probably one of those events where when you sort of run the numbers, you look at it and go, oh yeah, this guy played well at the Masters. I'll take him again. And I feel that it's going to be a little bit of that this year.
Mm.
I don't know. Just coughing away there. So we'll get to listen to dead air for a moment. When it comes to the guys that I've ranked up on the data, it's a funny looking number. I've got three guys that rate very, very, very similar. And we talked a little bit about the numbers before. Three guys right at the top. Tom Hoagie, Akshay Bhatia, and Scottie Scheffler. Shockingly, Scottie Scheffler rates really highly. After that, it drops down a little bit, which not massively down. But yeah, Jake Knapp, Sam Burns, Austin Eckroat, Ludvig Åberg, Cam Young, Lucas Glover, Nick Taylor, Christian Bezuidenhout, Erik van Rooyen. When it comes to guys that I'll be looking at, the first name that jumps out to my eye are the two guys that rate reasonably high on the data and play well this week. So Cameron Young, I can guarantee, will be in a lot of people's picks. He finished third here 2 years ago, ninth at the Masters and second at the Valspar. So tick, tick. Another one, Xander Schauffele. I feel like Xander is the person that I pick here every year. Now, he hasn't played here. He's only played here. Played last year and finished fourth. Didn't play 2 years before that, but finished nowhere before that. Eighth at the Masters, fifth at the Valspar, second at the Players. So if Cam Young and Xander Schauffele aren't right at the top of everyone's pointy end picks, I'd be shocked, right behind Scottie Scheffler, obviously. But yeah, I'd be absolutely shocked if, I mean, Rory and those guys are probably up the top just because of their names, but Xander and Cam Young will be red hot. I'll read out some names for you. We're not going to, we might do Mike versus the Mug. We will do it. If it's okay with you, what we're going to do, we'll do Mike versus the Mug. You can send me some names during the week and I'll post them. But what we'll do is, Jeremy from Mount T Golf had a really nice charity. So if you can get me this week, I'll use Jeremy's charity because instead of using, because we normally use Lifeline, we've used Movember a couple of times. But yeah, we'll use that one again. I'll just got to look it up and see what it was. It was, I can't remember. Shouldn't remember. Yeah, so Jeremy, we'll do yours. So basically, if that comes up, we'll be chucking some money towards them again. Sanctuary Counseling, it is. So Sanctuary Counseling, if Will can beat me this week, we'll find three players each and I'll put them out on the socials. Sanctuary will get the $50 if Will can beat me this week. Oh, unless you want to do the Corrales, Hunter Carter, because we do have a Doppio, a double week event this week. So if you can pick the event, you can have a look at the field. And if you're leaning like, you know, really, really find some gold at Corrales, and you want to go there, we can go there. Do you want me to give you the names of who's playing at Corrales?
Yes. Yeah, do that. I'll see if I can listen to some gold in there.
First up, favorite, Alex Noren at $15, Nikolai Højgaard at 17, Billy Horschel 21, Aaron Rye 21, Doug the Groom, Kim Reaper 29, Kevin Yu 31, Davis Thompson, 34, Victor Perez, 34, Mark Homeless Hubbard, 34, Nate Lashley, 36, Ben Griffin, 41, and KH Lee, 41, and Daniel Berger, 41 as well. There's some names there that I actually quite like. I really am. Aaron Rye is going to have a good week. Write that down. Yeah, and maybe Kevin Yu. But I think if I was going to have a bet this week, which... Let's all stop kidding ourselves. When I have a bet this week, there's a good chance I'll put $5 on Aaron Rye to win at 20s into, say, Xander or Cam Young in a double. Mm-hmm. I'll probably end up getting 200 to 1 and put my $5 on that. try and win $1,000.
It's totally fair.
Why not?
Totally fair.
If you don't think that's a dumb, if you think that's the dumbest bet I've ever made, you'd be wrong. I've made much dumber bets than that.
I feel like that and potentially a Scotty Scheffler to miss the cut purely based on the fact that he may have a child this week.
That's what, and, I like that. I love it.
And so it's because there'll be a lot of money going the other way, saying that he will never miss a cut again. You'd send a couple of cheeky curries to the Scheffler household and see what you can do about that. And yeah. I think that's the play of the week.
That is you're thinking like a gambler. I love it. I absolutely love that bet. That is a Scotty Scheffler to miss the cut. You know what would happen? The betting agencies here would cancel the bet.
I shouldn't have said it out loud, but here we are.
You're fine. I love it. All right, that's what we're going to do. Sanctuary Golf. You pick the event, and we'll put up the picks this weekend. I hope everyone that is having a listen is enjoying it. If you are, like, share, subscribe, do all that sort of stuff. We really appreciate it. Will, what's been actually before we go away? What's been happening at Seven Mile? Anything special in the shop coming?
Well, it was a special event last week in that it rained, and I went down and had a bit of a look around and actually tested some rain gear that we're testing out for some future endeavors.
Yep.
But so that went very well. But also seeing the rain actually land on the course and you could just about hear the grass growing out of the ground. It was the holes that have only just been hydroseeded, which is where you spray a big slurry of seed and paper mache on the sand to make it stick and turn it into a fairway, is 3 weeks old and is already greening up really nicely on the back of a couple of decent showers. So more of that, and it's just going to explode out of the ground. So I'm very excited to see that. And I was able to take some of our potential future suppliers down there the other day. And it's just an exciting place to be. And those new holes will be special. They're all going to be amazing, but they are potentially three of the four best holes on the course are the ones that were only seeded the other day. So it's already just coming out of the ground very nicely. So it's obviously a huge amount of bias in what I'm saying, but it's also everybody gets very excited. There's a couple of really good reveals as you walk around the course and you come over a headland or you come over one of the infinity greens, and it's going to be a lot of wow moments.
Yeah, I can't wait to get down there and have a look. First chance I get, I will definitely be doing that.
No, I'm always excited when everything lines up and I can take people down there. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, for sure. Oh yeah, you're going to definitely need a second phone once the course opens. You'll be getting a lot of phone calls.
Yes, fingers crossed.
So guaranteed.
Oh yeah, it's going to be fun.
Oh, for sure. That's it for this week. If you are having a bet, make sure you do it responsibly. Please, it is all a bit of fun. If you do like what we're doing, please let someone else know, get them onto it. The honest answer is free email goes out. Like 2 weeks ago, the top pick was Akshay Bhatia at $67. Anyone? This week's top pick was Scotty Scheffler. It was $550. It's not that exciting, but it was still a winner. You can only win. You'll never go broke betting winners. Thanks, mate. Thanks, Will, for coming on again. Really, really appreciate it.
Anytime. Enjoyed it.
And anyone listening that needs any 7 Mile kit, make sure you jump on Instagrams and hit him up. Cheers.
Yep. See you there. Bye now.